All right. Hey, a little Kiss music in the background. That's awesome. See, that I just gave my age to everybody, so they're going to know what my background is, when it was. That was a big deal back in the day for us. So, yeah. Hey, we're back. Welcome back to the KMOX Home Improvement Show. Your host, Rich Orris, like he said, I'm here. I'm ready for you. We got the phone lines cranking and working and ready to go for you. You can find me at 314-436-7900. And I also want to welcome in the 97.1 crowd. We've got a whole nother gang of people, another gang of issues and questions and things going on around their house. So anything you need, anything you got, feel free to give me a call. We got a whole nother hour stacked up, ready to go for you. Again, don't forget, 314-436-7900. And I was kind of, before the last call, I was kind of talking about different things that I go out and I see and I get with people and common questions that we get all the time and things that are happening. And I love to kind of talk about a lot of that. And I had one that was almost kind of comical. It was kind of like the old car at the mechanics when you pull up and you're like, I swear I've been hearing this weird sound. It's been doing this. It's been ticking or this and that. And of course, the minute you have it at the mechanics, completely doesn't do it. They can't find anything. And I had a door like that with a really good, nice repeat client of mine, and a door would not work. It wouldn't shut right. She had problems getting it shut and working. And so she was kind of like, I don't want to mess with it too much and end up having it not shut. She got it shut. So then she called us, and I came out and looked at it. And, of course, that door operated just as easy as ever. Nothing wrong, nothing going on. A little bit in the handle, it was a little bit sticking, but it was kind of like, I don't think that was your problem, why it wouldn't operate. And nothing to real. It's kind of like nothing to see here. But did suggest maybe getting a Sherlock and Key kind of locksmith out there to change the handle, fix it, get a new one, make sure that's operating properly. But other than that, door worked fine, and just like going to the mechanic, and nothing's happening when you get it there. But so it happens to your house just as well as your car too. So hey, we got Donna on the line. Let's jump on the phone here and see what's going on. Donna, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Awesome, awesome. What's happening?
Okay, so I have a back door that comes onto a deck from the kitchen, and I have the same kind of door that goes onto the deck from the garage.
Hello.
Okay.
Both leak into the wood, into the basement. It's not a horrible leak, but it is enough to where the wood got bad. So we have those doors replaced, and the problem is still there. And so I had two different contractors out. One contractor says that, dropping the deck a little bit so that it's not just an even to the threshold of the door, that should fix it. The other contractor says, I think it could possibly be, in the siding around the door that maybe it's not flashed right or anything. So it's two totally different opinions. And the guy that put the door in, he kind of went all out trying to make sure he fixed that problem. But it is not fixed. And I just wondered if you had any ideas.
Yes, definitely do. And this is something that the last time I've corrected this for a client was a few weeks ago. That's how often we see things like this. And strangely enough, both people are kind of right in their own way. Although I don't feel you need to lower the deck. We have doors and decks and at that same level all the time, and it can be flashed properly where that deck can stay at the level that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you can flash it right to get the water to where you need to go. But basically what's happening is you're getting water around that door, and there's nothing to direct it back out and direct it to where you want it to go. Is let me ask you this. Is your siding on the home, is it vinyl siding?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, so and it's most common with vinyl siding, too, to where water gets around and behind that vinyl siding. It can start anywhere above that door. If there's a window above the door, if there's anything above it, or at the J channel right above and on the top of the door. So the solution is really to take the siding off the wall, take the first deck board off of the deck, completely uninstall that door, take it totally out of the hole, out of the opening. And what you have to do is you have to flash the bottom of that door kind of with a pan. You've got flashing on the deck, and you want to have flashing under that door and coming down the side of that door that brings any water that gets there to the outside of that deck flashing that's underneath your deck floor. So a lot of times when they're that close, you kind of make that one piece where that door is. You can make it kind of one piece with metal and everything, and you put flashing on the sides, you reinstall that door, you put a head flashing at the top that brings water back out at the top of the door. Water that runs down the side of the door goes where you want it to the outside of that deck flashing. When it goes under the deck, it goes to the outside of the band board, the first board that's attached to the house. It gets to the outside of that. It keeps that water from coming in. So it's a three-part thing with the door, the wall flashing, and the deck flashing all coming together to work as a system.
Gotcha. Okay.
So this is something that our employees at Mosby Building Arts, our exteriors team, they handle this all the time. I just had one we finished up for me like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yep.
About how much would you think something like that would cost for two doors?
Well, it's going to depend a lot on like the where the siding is, where the siding goes. Is there a second floor above that?
There is.
Yeah, so
and there's a lot of bay windows.
The recommendation is going to be when you take siding off to flash it, you need to go from the bottom to the top. And you need to go from like a corner to a corner somewhere to end it, like an inside corner of the house or an outside corner of the house, because you're putting on a house wrap drainage plane that's going to guide water where you need to go. So if you only put it up so high, or if you only go so far sideways, you can still get water in. Sometimes, like I just had one a couple weeks ago where I'm basically recommending they do the entire back wall of the house.
Oh, okay.
From outside corner, because there's no corners. It's basically an outside corner on the left and an outside corner on the right. It's two stories. So I'm recommending they reside the entire back wall of the house.
Oh, okay.
So could be 5,000, could be 20-something, 30, depending on the size and magnitude we end up at.
Oh, okay. So do they come out and give us an estimate about what they think it would be? Or
We've got myself and we've got plenty of other people that handle this type of work at Mosby, where if you call Mosby Building Arts, let them know you talked to me on the air, let them know what's happening. They'll get either myself or one of our exterior expert consultants out there to go, okay, address it, look at it. They can talk to you about it and then kind of let you know where they think it's going, and then you can kind of make that decision and let you know like how big we think we need to do and help explain why it needs to be more sometimes.
Sure. Okay. Okay, yep. Well, I sure appreciate it. So just call on Monday and set something up. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
You can also go to our website at callmosby.com, just like a phone call, callmosby.com. And you can do like, you can request an appointment, do like an online submission so you don't have to necessarily call during business hours. And we can handle it that way, too.
Okay. Well, I sure appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Oh, very, very welcome. And like I said, something we do way too much, too common. It happens a lot.
Everybody kind of can run into this situation, it seems like. And yeah. One contractor just said, he goes, I don't do that. And he's kind of, he does a real good job at a lot of places. He goes, I don't even mess with it. I just tell him to call Barry Doors and have Barry come. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and most door companies are not siding companies. So then they're not.
Yeah.
And most siding companies still don't even know the door or the wrap and the flash very well. It's about getting to somebody that understands all three.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So. Well, what was your name?
My name's Rich.
Rich. Okay. Yep. Thanks, Rich, so much. I appreciate it.
No problem, Donna. I appreciate the call. And, hey, we're going to jump into our first break here. Sue, if you could hang on for just a couple moments as we get through this, I'll get to you as soon as we return. Everybody else, don't touch that dial. Stay where you're at. More to come. All right, guys, back once again. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Don't forget, you can find me, 314-436-7900, right here today. Got a lot going on. Got Sue on the line. Let's get straight to Sue and see what's happening. Sue, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Awesome. Thanks for calling.
Well, it's not a very elaborate question. But
that's okay.
It's something that's bothering me. I used to have pets, and so I put a sticker on the door, garage door, and my Mosby front door.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Uh huh. That I had all these pets for the firemen to look for if necessary. Well, I don't have any pets anymore, and I don't know how to get that sticker off without causing a problem. I had painted the door, of course, and I don't know how to get the sticker off.
Oh, is the sticker on the paint of the door?
Yeah, it's on the door. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that, how long's it been there?
Oh, a couple of years, and it's been baked through the storm door.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, yeah, with the storm door, with the heat, you're definitely, kind of like a wallpaper stripper type of thing. You're going to want to kind of try and soak this to get it to peel off, and it's going to be a tedious task. And even if you do it as well as you can, there's products out there like Goof Off. There's a Goof Off that is an oil based. It smells pretty bad, but it can help if you poke some holes or you kind of get through that sticker a little bit and soak some of that in there, kind of like a stripper wallpaper remover. The softener, like liquid softener that you use for your laundry, something to soften it up and then kind of work at it, peel it away. I am a little bit afraid that after a couple years and baking through that storm door, no matter how much time you take or how well you do it, you might end up just needing a fresh coat of paint on that front door. Because you might still see kind of a square where it was. But, yeah, it is a good idea to get that off there if you have no pets, because you definitely don't want to alert the fire department in the wrong direction.
Right.
Yeah, they'll be running around, where are these pets? And, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, so you're recommending a Goof Off.
Yep. Fabric softener, Goof Off. Something like that to kind of work at that and just slowly kind of any kind of tool you try and use, you're going to want to just pick at it. You're going to want to be real gentle with it.
Mm-hmm.
You can maybe, like, there's a tool that pokes holes in wallpaper, kind of like a little wheel that has little bitty kind of pokey dots on it. that if you poke some holes through that and you put that softener on there, it's going to help get behind it and kind of help you lift it off. But any kind of scraper, flat razor blade, anything like that you use is probably going to damage something. So you really got to try and go super slow and just work at it.
Okay. Well, good news.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you got the time, it's worth trying because maybe you won't end up having to paint that door.
Yeah, I'm going to try. Okay. Thank you, Rich.
You are very welcome, Sue. Good luck with that. Glad to hear. See, there's a Mosby door out there that, and hopefully maybe, you know, the Provia that we use with the pre-finished paint, maybe that'll hold up really well and work on that when it's painted in the factory versus painted on site. It is a harder, better finish in a controlled environment. So the likelihood of that working well kind of increases when you're in that situation. So that is definitely a good thing. But it's something that we do all the time. These doors, windows, all sorts of exteriors work here at Mosby. And we do it in a way that is really good quality, flashing right. When we look at replacing a door, like Donna was talking about the last call before, We're looking at those situations when we're installing the door, and we'll look at it and kind of go, here's what you're up against, and here's what we got to really do to keep rainwater, air infiltration, all this stuff out. We need to install this door in a different manner that it's being installed. And I see it all the time where we have these doors, they leak like that. And then somebody says, oh, well, the door's leaking. And then a company comes out and says, well, you need a new door. Because when we put in a new door and we don't remove the siding and we don't correct any flashing issues and we just caulk it, basically we're returning that product to the same way it was when it was built, when the last one was installed. And you have this issue going, so to correct an issue, you need to do something differently. So if they built the house and they put a door in and it ended up leaking, just replacing the door isn't necessarily the only solution that's going to stop that leak, unless it is just the product of the door itself that's leaking and the home was done right. Because sometimes there are inferior products, there are inferior doors that the door itself could be the issue, letting water to the inside. And that certainly happens as well. Like the last one I just did that I was talking about with Donna, it was a newer house. This door was not very old. They had an issue with the glass on the door within the first few months, had the door worked on, under warranty, had the door panel itself replaced and everything, and we're looking at this whole siding flashing door job. How do we stop this leak? And I'm saying, man, we need to consider a better door, not necessarily a newer door, but one that has better quality when we do this so that we know this is going to work out and this is going to last. So I'm looking at a house that's only a few years old, and we're already putting a new door in it to stop this leak because the builder grade type door they chose as the builder just was an inferior product. It wasn't great, didn't last, it wasn't going to work well. You go through all this effort, make it the best that you can. And really, when you think about it, that's how these jobs kind of work and grow. Because imagine you got a two-story house and I'm trying to flash your wall and your door, and say water gets behind the siding. So if I do that a foot higher than your door, water gets behind the siding at the window on the second floor, it comes down, it gets behind everything that I did. So now I have to go up as high as that window. Well, now let's say the soffit, say your gutters overflow, something goes wrong, tennis ball gets in, gutters overflow, it gets behind the metal, gets behind the soffit material. Now it's behind the siding from the soffit. And if I didn't take that soffit up and get higher and behind that soffit, now it's behind what I did again. The window could start leaking. The door below could start leaking. So taking these issues to the roof and wide enough to not have anything near that door, kind of the corner to corner, sometimes we end up residing the entire back of the house to fix just a door. But remember that it's also fixing the bay areas that we were talking about. She kind of mentioned there's a couple bays. Every window, every hose bib, every outlet, it will correct things that you might not know that you have issues with yet. So could be a better thing to do and could be well, well worth it. But hey, I'm here for everybody. Let's get into our middle hour break. We got two whole segments left for you. Again, give me a shout, 314-436-7900. More to come, home improvement right after this. All right, welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. Remember, we've got two more segments here for you. 314-436-7900 finds me, just like Mary found me here. Let's get to Mary and see what's going on. Are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing today?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, listen, I had a patio put in about 5 years ago. It's a 10 by 30, and it's wonderful. And I noticed there's, they've made them every 5 foot square or whatever, and there's a little crack in between, which is like that's supposed to happen because that's where it's supposed to crack. It's cracked.
Uh-huh.
So can I go through and put that that self-leveling caulk in there or something to keep it, the water from going down underneath it or something? It's they're not very big, but I just thought through the, if I don't fix it, like through the years, will water get down there and kind of erode it out?
Yes, absolutely. It is a very good idea, and they put all those control joints and expansion joints where they put them because concrete will crack. It's just going to happen. It's going to move. It's going to expand, all these things. So they're trying to pick where that's going to crack. So, yeah, once that control joint cracks, I would definitely recommend caulking over that to keep water out of it, because the more water that gets down underneath that concrete, it'll tend to wash that base away and kind of settle things and create more movement and create opening that crack up even wider. So, yeah, it's definitely a good idea to clean the concrete, seal the concrete, and then caulk all those cracks where they have opened so that the water runs away and off to the outside.
Oh, so you suggest that I seal the cracks or I seal the whole patio?
Seal the whole patio is a good idea. What kind of concrete is it? Is it like regular, like a broom finish?
It's not a broom finish, but it's not slick either. It's kind of slick. I guess.
Does it have swirls on it where they kind of created?
No, it doesn't have swirls, but it's not the kind that when you walk out you're going to slip if it got wet.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So that's basically what we call a broom finish. So yeah, I would recommend. Power, if you haven't done it or they didn't do it when they put this in 5 years ago, and you, even if they did, depending on the type they use, you may be ready for it again anyways. But yes, you can power wash that patio, put a sealer on the entire patio, cover the whole thing. And there are sealants out there that spray on and they go in the pores, so they're not shiny looking. You don't know they're there. They kind of, okay. It's like a silicone, and it kind of goes into the pores, and then that'll really clean things up. That'll keep all the moisture out of the pores, and then you can caulk those cracks. If it's pretty level patio, you can use the self-leveling stuff. You just got to make sure you kind of put something in the cracks so it doesn't just run down there and or block the ends so it doesn't just run out of the end.
Yeah, it's got a a very slight slope. So because where the patio is, it slopes away from the house, and then it slopes down to the one end. So if I was sprinkling my garden at the one end, eventually that water would run all the way down and out the other side, down that crack.
Yep. So, and the self-leveling should work on a slight slope like that.
I thought it would.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I power washed it earlier in the spring, but is that good enough, or should I power wash it again?
If it looks perfectly clean, it should be good enough. But if it doesn't, if you have any stains from leaves or tree stuff falling or anything, you might want to power wash it again before you seal.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for your show.
All right, no problem. Thank you, Mary. Thanks for calling. And definitely this is the time of year to get that done with the temperatures that we're having. Not too cold, not too hot. Perfect time for caulking, for sealing, for doing all of these outside projects and everything. And, you know, getting these projects right and picking the right company to do these projects is such an important thing towards really getting some lasting value out of what you're doing. Knowing you have people that understand it, have been trained. I've always recommended to everyone that even if you think you know something, always ask questions that are kind of open-ended that people have to answer. Ask people what they do. Ask them how they do it. Can you explain to me how this is done? And you'll learn what people know if they really seem to that they know what they're talking about. So even if you talk to one person, like I had someone with some windows years ago. They asked me about the lead safe work practices. So they had different window companies out, and then I came out for Mosby and was looking at the windows, and she asked me a really, really great kind of open-ended question about, she just kind of said, can you just explain to me, I mean, what do you do because there's lead in the home or there's lead on the windows when you pull it? What has to happen? And basically all people ever tell you is, yeah, there's more that we got to do. It costs more per window because you're in an older home and it has lead paint, and we have to get rid of it properly. And she kind of got into, well, what's properly? I'm just curious. And I kind of was like, wow, what makes you so curious? What really gets you to ask that? And the reason she said was, she had several companies out, and they all told her it cost more because her house was older, and they had to follow these rules, and they had to do these things. And when she said, well, what does the cost apply to? What does it mean? What are you doing that's different from a house that isn't this old? No one knew. None of the people could answer her questions. So she had three, four different window companies out, and all these people could say was, well, I don't know, the installers do what they need to do. I just know that it costs more per window. And so I was like, okay, well, no, I get it. So here's what we do. When we come in to do this window, we have to put down stuff to protect the floors. We have to put up plastic walls that will separate the rest of the house from this window. So we kind of make a U-shape with these plastic zip poles that hold up plastic because we're trying to contain anything that could come off these windows. And when you do windows or doors in older homes, it's absolutely how you have to do it because that lead could blow through the house. There's no way out of it. Sometimes there's ways out if you're doing just a little bit of work, but once it's a window or a door, you're really involved into it. So we put this up there. We get everything changed. We have to run like vacuums with HEPA filters. We have to clean up a certain way all the dust, all the debris and everything in that area. We have to take all that and we have to throw it away properly. Then we have to test the area. So they have to clean the area with this test kit that basically once they clean some of this area, they watch the test kit, and if it turns a certain color, it means there's still lead dust around and we need to do it again. And once you do it again, after doing it like three times, if you're still picking it up, they say it's never going to go away, and it's just in there permanently, and you're okay. But you got to do it at least three times. So I explained this whole process, and she was just so appreciative that, like, wow, I actually have a person in here that knows what the system is, that's done it, performed it, and has been certified in it. And basically everybody else is just told, yep, they got to do more. Here's how you price it out. Just do it. So they're leaving all this information and work and what needs to happen towards the field. And what you end up with is a bunch of homeowners getting windows that aren't educated. They don't know what's going to happen. So if somebody comes in and decides not to do that, they wouldn't know any different. You could not do that, not clean up right, put lead all over the house, maybe put people's kids in danger with this lead, and you as a homeowner would have no idea because you're uneducated in the system. The salesperson out knew nothing about it, and they just like, we're just going to do what we do. Well, how do you know they're actually doing what they do the proper way unless you can find out? So I definitely recommend finding out, getting into it, and getting all the information that you can. So we're going to get into our final break here. Remember, I'll be right here for you. We got one last segment, 314-436-7900 gets to me. And we'll have more to come after these messages. All right, we are back. The final segment of the Home Improvement Show. Rich Orr is here for everybody. And we've got Charlene on the line. Let's jump right there and see what's going on. Can you hear me? Are you there, Charlene?
Yes, I am.
Awesome, awesome. Thanks for calling. What's happening today?
I have an old garage that is covered in shingles that look like brick, and I want to cover it with vinyl siding. Will I have to remove those shingles first, or can those be put over, the siding put over the shingles?
So in our area, the siding can be put over those shingles. I would 100% not recommend that. It just that they will allow you to do that in our area. So we don't have a lot of strict codes and things that when re-siding a house in our area, a lot of siders will side over top of existing siding, and we've been doing it for years, and it can be okay. It depends on weather-driven rains, where you get your water in behind the vinyl siding, and when we side something like that structure, we're going to want to take all of that old brick-looking siding off of there. And we're going to want to wrap it, flash it. And there's, depending on how old this is, we got to make sure there's actually a sheeting behind that siding, or that siding isn't acting as the sheeting. And so that might change up our approach a little bit, depending on if there's like half-inch plywood sheeting behind there or not. But it is definitely good to have a drainage plane on the wall that you side before you put the siding on that controls water, because rainwater and wind-driven rains does get behind vinyl siding. So you'll still get water and rainwater onto that old siding if you leave it behind there. And now you've got a new siding that's puncturing a bunch of holes through that, and it's channeling water to certain areas. So I do see a lot of times where the house is sided with something like that, or it's sided with wood that's caulked and painted. And the people are like, yeah, we kept caulking and we kept painting and we kept water out that way. But as soon as we sided the house with vinyl siding and we covered a lot of it, the trims and things with this metal coil, they didn't realize, no one told them, the water would still get back there. So it starts damaging the siding behind the vinyl, and it kind of traps water and moisture in, doesn't allow it to dry out like as if it were exposed to the elements. So it'll tend to ruin the siding underneath and rot the siding underneath quicker than it would have if the vinyl siding wasn't on top of it.
Okay, well, I'm concerned the shingles look like they are attached to the wood frame of the garage. I don't have any water damage, but the shingles are disintegrating, and I was also concerned that maybe they were asbestos, possibly.
Could be.
Is it possible that they're made of asbestos?
It is possible, and it would be worth getting one of them tested before anything was removed, because that can be dangerous for the workers. And that's kind of when you said that type, that was my concern too, is I see a lot of those where that is just on the wall, and when you take that off, then you got to actually install new, like, plywood sheeting around the outside of the walls of that garage before you can wrap it, flash it, side it, and make that all work out. So it definitely turns into a bigger project than just hammering on, nailing through. But if you're having some deterioration and you're having some issues with that siding that's on there now, that may not go away because of the new vinyl siding. Because if you get water, rainwater blown in behind that, you're still going to have the issue happening behind the vinyl siding.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Where would I get the asbestos tested, the shingles tested?
So we use a company called Wellington Environmental for that. They can take a little piece and they can test it, or you can take a piece and break it off and put it in a Ziploc baggie, take it to them, and they can have it tested. So you're looking for like an environmental company that does mold and asbestos and things like that for that. So hey, Charlene, I'm totally out of time. I hope
thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. Feel free to talk to Mosby about this siding and how to do it too if you're so interested. And for everybody else out there, have a good week. Be good to each other, be good to your homes, and I'll talk to everybody next week.